welcome you here today, Jesus. It's a pleasure to worship together. You guys can have a seat, and it is time for announcements.
Everybody, good to see you. Thank you for coming today. You made this place better by showing up, whether it is your first time here or your thousandth time here. Wow, that's a hard word to say. How many people did their first kind of Bambi on ice of the year today? Spreading out, keeping the weight low. I definitely have to get my winter legs back on. My name is Hopewell. I am a member here at River Heights Vineyard. And if you are here for the first time in particular, John Marsden, who is giving our amazing message today, would love to meet you after the service and even give you a gift to say thank you for visiting today. He will be at the Welcome Center just through those double doors after the service. If you need a conversation starter with John Marsden this morning, feel free to ask him what his 2-year-old granddaughter has started calling him recently. It's very cute. Our purpose here at River Heights Vineyard is to help a growing number of people love God, love people, and change the world. Thank you so much, Justine. That means a lot that you're helping me make that a thing, the hand motions. Each week, your giving makes that possible and connects you to this purpose. It means that you are partnering with God in things like kids ministry, recovery ministry, keeping the lights on here, bringing the good news and the presence of the Holy Spirit into our community in new ways. You can give electronically through PushPay. The info is on the screen right behind me and on that QR code. You can also give the analog way using cash or checks, putting them into the wooden boxes that are on either side of the doors as you leave this room or on the way out of the building. Let me take a moment to just pray for our giving. God, thank you for being so abundantly generous to us. Would you call to mind today the things that we have that we haven't shared yet? Grow our willingness to share and our excitement to see what our meager resources can do when you bless them and make them a part of your kingdom. Amen. All right, take a moment and take out the connection card that you were given when you walked in these doors by our friendly greeters. Every week, the prayer team prays by name for every person we know of who was present at our services. So please share any contact information that you feel comfortable sharing, even if it's just your initials. We will be praying for you this week. If you have particular ways we can be blessing you and asking for the work of God to come into your life or into the lives of others, please do share that in the prayer requests box on the back. If you have already started to see the Lord work in particular ways in your life or in the lives of others, feel free to give us a quick synopsis of that and celebrate with us in the God Stories box at the bottom. If you give permission to share that publicly, we may put it on the slides anonymously before service next week. It's super encouraging to see those messages from the community. So if you're on the fence about sharing, please do. What was I gonna say? Yes, there is an option to fill this out electronically as well, obviously using the QR code behind me on the screen. Okay, we have a holiday coming up. What is it? Christmas, New Year's, yes. Epiphany, Three Kings Day, there's lots of options. But I'm thinking about Christmas today. You are invited to one of our Christmas Eve services, which will be on the 24th. Isn't it nice that Christmas is the same dates every year? It's so much easier to remember. Those are at 3 p.m. or 4:30 p.m. There will be carols, scripture, and candlelight as we celebrate Jesus' birth. We got Snoopy on decorations. We got Schroeder on the keys. We need people to be greeters for both services. So if you are able to flash a smile, shake a hand, do one of those kind of subtle nods, that could be you. We also need people to be scripture readers at either service because Linus couldn't be here. If you are remotely open to that, if you've been told that you are able to read well, or if you just want to give it a shot and be the person with the mic, please check those boxes on your connection card to let us know how you want to serve that day. On Christmas Day itself, Wednesday, December 25th at noon, we have our traditional Christmas Day dinner. It is a happening party. This is an actual holiday feast complete with roast beast and your last can of Who Hash and all the other festive goodies. You can make a reservation for yourself and your family on, you guessed it, the connection card at the bottom of the front page. This just lets us know how many people are coming. We also need donations of homemade Christmas cookies, cooked hams, and turkeys. And I should specify once again, because apparently I need to say it several times, these should be cooked deceased turkeys not fresh live ones. You can drop off your food donations starting at 9 a.m. on Christmas morning. There are other volunteer opportunities like setup and decorating, kitchen and buffet helpers, and cleanup helpers. Wherever you feel called and eager to serve, please once again sign up on the connection card. Next announcement is close to my heart. Our church and the broader Vineyard Network is involved in a program called Emotionally Focused that invites people to kind of undergo an emotional and spiritual transformation process, looking under the surface at our patterns, the narratives of when we made choices to become the people we are today, whether that lines up with who we think God has called us to be, and where we go from there. This has been really impactful for a lot of people in our community. And in fact, we preached through the concepts of Emotionally Focused in our fall sermon series called Changed. You are invited to take this next step in your faith journey by taking an online version of Emotionally Focused Foundations. This is an intensive two-day seminar, chances to do small groups, chances to workshop and try out new ideas out loud with a safe community that cares about you. I love talking about emotions. I am a therapist. I'm really biased. I think emotions are great. And if you are not in that camp, this is still a really good fit for you. I took it in August, and I took it with people who had a really wide range of experiences talking about emotions. And I would say to a person, people found it inviting and helpful. You can sign up by scanning the QR code on the screen. At this point, it is time to dismiss our middle schoolers to middle church down the hall. Enjoy church today, middle school friends. And in the meantime, the rest of us who are not in middle school can take a moment and say hello to the people around us.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is wonderful to see you all. I am, as Hopewell mentioned, I'm John. My wife Sue and I have the privilege of being founding pastors of this wonderful community, and we're glad to still be here, and we're glad to be back. Some of you say, yeah, you haven't been around for a while. No, we've been gone for at least a month in Chicago helping our youngest daughter, here's a picture, Anna, with her new baby, Daniela Maricela, who's about 6 weeks old, and then Sophia is 2 years old. And so we had a great month with them. I think I went grocery shopping more in 1 month than I have in my entire life. But that was part of what I could do as an errand runner. And we had a great, great time with them, and I'm really thankful. Sophia and Daniela and Anna are at in a church doing carols and scriptures this morning. So I do have more pictures, but that's the only one that's going to be on the screen. Anyway, glad to be back home with you. I really love this community. I love this season. I love Christmas. I love the lights. I love the songs. I love the cookies. I especially love the white chocolate covered Oreos. Anybody with me there? They're addicting. And I love giving and receiving gifts. Our children and grandchildren have given Sue and I so many wonderful gifts over the years. And this week, as I was thinking about this talk, one memory came back to my mind. And one of my favorite memories is Sue unwrapping a small package and saying in a very perplexed voice, Jonathan got me a can of chili for Christmas. Jonathan's our oldest son. And John then pointed to the travel tag on the back of the can and said, Mom, you can figure it out. Just think. You can put it together. You see, our youngest daughter, that Anna that was in the picture, was leaving to study in Santiago, Chile for 7 months. And Sue and I so wanted to come and visit for a couple weeks. But the airline tickets were $1,500 to $2,000 each, and we couldn't afford to do that. And so John and Lisa shook up. They kindly gave us air miles to enable that to happen. And we had wonderful 2 weeks in Chile with Anna. Can you think of a memorable gift you've received or given? What made it memorable to you? Did it meet a deep need and demonstrate thoughtfulness and kindness? You know, I have found God to be an incredibly generous and thoughtful gift giver. He gave us his own son, Jesus, to rescue us and give us a new life. And then he sent his very own Holy Spirit to produce in us that life of Jesus, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and self-control and everything we need. We are exploring some of God's wonderful gifts this Advent season. Rena and Pete did a great job talking with us about the gift of hope, the gift of peace. Today we're going to explore the gift of joy. And I want to explore several questions with you. Things like, first of all, like, what is joy? Why is joy so important to living a full and a free life? And how can you and I experience more and more joy our whole life long? So let me just pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for each other. We thank you that you've come to touch everyone in this room, everyone down the hall in the Lavinia Auditorium, everyone downstairs or in Middle Church. We thank you that you love every single one of us, that you have good for every one of us. You so want to help us move forward in life and be all you've created and redeemed us to be and make a real difference in this world. We're grateful, and we thank you for your presence now in Jesus' name. So what is joy? One of our Vineyard Advent devotionals defines joy this way. Joy is a constant sense of well-being that doesn't depend on what's in our checking account or on every one of our relationships being, quote, perfect. Joy, according to the Christmas story, is tasted when we draw our sense of well-being from the presence of God. Interestingly, Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Thankfulness teaches our eyes to see every situation through the lens of joy, and joy slowly starts to become a more normal experience in our daily lives. Now, growing up, I struggled to experience lasting joy. You know, I was happy when I played on teams that were successful. My high school football teams won 2 conference championships. We went 36-4 over my 4 years. Y'all wondered, how's he going to get sports into this talk? Well, we start right there. Okay. And so I was happy. We won almost all the time. I was also happy when I got a really good grade on a test. Truth be told, I wanted the highest grade on the tests, and sometimes I got them. I was really happy, but the games ended, and there was another game. The tests ended, and there'd be another test. And so that happiness didn't last for me, so I was looking for lasting joy. But it seemed like it always escaped. I was what I would call a joy-challenged person at that time in my life. Anybody here ever identify being a joy-challenged person? Some of you are really joyful. Maybe you just were born joyful, and that's awesome. I'm glad for you. But I'm also glad that Jesus has come to give a gift of joy, and it doesn't matter whether you feel like you're joy-challenged or joyful. He has something for you today and every day. Now, there's some amazing passages in the Bible that God has used to help change my life and help me become a more joyful person. But first, they really irritated me. I don't know if you ever have gotten challenged or irritated or poked and prodded by the Bible. I have. Anyway, these are some of those. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And then Philippians 4:4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And I will say it again. Rejoice. How can we always be joyful? Isn't life hard? Isn't life full of difficult seasons? This honestly might be a difficult season for some of you. Some of you have lost loved ones during this season. My dad died on December 30, 5 days after Christmas, 40 years ago. And I still really, really miss him. And it comes up during this season for me. You may have situations like that. You may be going through something right now that's really hard and challenging. How can you be joyful in those times? I would just say to you that those are the times I think I've needed joy the most in my life, to be able to walk through those times. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's kind of the wind in your sails that helps you keep going when things are challenging. And James says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now that's your fault, your first thought all the time, right? Oh, great, I'm going through a really hard time. This is an opportunity for great joy. Some of you actually might have that as your first thought. It has not been my first thought for most of my life. In fact, I'm doing the emotionally focused formation. Of course, that's the 6-month process after that wonderful retreat that you referenced. I highly recommend it. We're halfway through right now, and I'm discovering things about myself in my first formation, and I'm letting go of some things, and I'm actually changing. I'll be honest with you, I'm 75 as of October, and when I thought about doing this, we had heard, Sue and I, that it's not a great idea for a couple to do it together at the same time, because you're really digging into your first formation. It's good for one of you to be relatively stable and at peace while the other one's doing the digging. So I was telling Sue, I don't think we should both do this right now. And she said to me, well, that's good, because you're the one talking about it, so I think you should do it. Which I am. I did struggle, though, because I thought, I'm 75. I'm kind of the person I'm going to be. Maybe a younger person should take my slot because they've got more runway left. And I felt God say to them, hey, are there a limited number of spots? I mean, why don't you take your spot? Let others decide for themselves. And wouldn't you like to be a better person the longer you live? However many years that is. And I thought, okay, you convinced me. This whole idea of seeing life as an opportunity for great joy, it's becoming more of a reality for me. James says, you know, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect. He means mature and complete, needing nothing. God has a wonderful plan of growth, and he does not waste anything you go through in life. He doesn't waste a sorrow. He doesn't waste a good thing. He works with us. And he really wants you to experience great joy. Now, so that's joy. Why is it so important? Well, I think it's so important because God wants you and I to live a full and a free life. Interestingly, Jesus has come that you and I would ultimately be completely like him. Not just a little bit, but completely like him. And Jesus, Hebrews says, because Jesus loved justice and hated evil, God anointed him, pouring out the oil of joy on him above everyone else. If I understand that verse, it's saying Jesus is the most joyful person who's ever lived. And he knows how to bring joy to you. Proverbs 17:22 says that a joyful heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. According to Mayo Clinic expert and oncologist Edward Krieg, and I found this on Google, and you know you can totally trust everything you ever find on Google. Not quite everything, but if you go to good sites, this is a Mayo Clinic site. He said here, staying healthy isn't just about diet and exercise. It's about finding moments of humor and joy and human connectedness, even if they're not always quite what you expect. Laughing can alleviate stress by decreasing stress hormones like epinephrine and cortisol. And during times of connectedness and joy, like when you laugh with a friend or watch a funny video online, Dr. Keegan says your body is flooded with feel-good hormones like dopamine, oxytocin, and endorphins. And there's evidence that laughter can enhance your memory. Anybody need some help there with memory? I need to laugh more, I guess. Creative thinking, friendliness, vigor, and even hopefulness. But humor isn't just about feeling good, as wonderful as it is to feel good. It can help you cope with the hard parts of life as well. A hearty laugh might decrease your blood pressure, help regulate your heart rhythms, and provide an element of joy, which is the elusive factor in well-being. So that's some of why joy is so important for our life. Now, how can we experience the lasting joy that God wants for us? I want us to look at the famous Christmas story from Luke 2, and we'll see what we can learn from a kind of unlikely group of people who experienced the lasting joy from God. So this is Luke 2. Now, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth, and she laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. It's always been interesting to me, this amazing story of the birth of Jesus is told in like 7 brief verses. The rest of the story we're going to hear, it's actually twice as many verses talking about the response. Why is that? Well, we need Jesus to be born and to live a perfect life and to give his life on the cross and rise from the dead, for sure. But we need to know what that means and how we can experience that. And so these next now 13 verses talk about that. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. They were guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, potentially Gabriel, who met with Zechariah and Mary. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. I think of like fireworks on the 4th of July that just cover the sky. The sky was ablaze with light, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." Don't you love angels? I often think this is like angels have to take a class, like Angel 101. You're going to scare the bejeebies out of these people when you meet them, so tell them, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Because you see it all the time. They're trying to reassure us. Don't be afraid. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people." Can you turn to somebody around you and say, "God has great joy for you"?
Great joy for you.
Great joy for you, Neil. Great joy for you, Justin and David. Because we're part of all the people. And it's not just like minimal joy, you know, enough for like 3 hours. It's great joy. It's mega joy that God, it's a promise to these shepherds. And these shepherds, it's interesting to me that God came to announce to the shepherds. He didn't announce it to the kings or the rich and the famous right away, but shepherds. Shepherds were ordinary working people, and they weren't highly respected. They couldn't even testify in a court of law because people often thought shepherds confused the sheep between mine and thine, and so they wouldn't let them even testify. But God loved them, and he came to them, and he spoke to them. And he said, "I bring you good news. It'll bring great joy to all the people." And this good news is wrapped up in a person. "For the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. I often think the other angels are just waiting until like, "Could you please get the message out? Because we've got something to say too." And the armies of heaven praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is well pleased." And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem." Nobody had to like pump them up or say, "Come on, get with it." They said, "Let's go to Bethlehem, and let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." They recognized God's voice in this. I want to say this to you. This came to me in the first service. You know, I didn't grow up in a family of faith. I came to Jesus at 19 in college, and he began to change my life. And I'm forever grateful 56 years later. But God broke in, and I recognized it was God that was working. You may have friends. You may have coworkers, people you go to school with in your neighborhood that right now they're fairly clueless about Jesus. I was totally clueless about Jesus. But God began to break into my life, and I recognized it was God. When God begins to work in your friend's life, they will recognize it. And God wants to use you in their lives, your prayers, your love, your kindness, just being a good person, your conversation, sharing your own story, what you're learning, what you're hoping for from God in your life, and the steps you're taking toward that. Your story is powerful. Doesn't have to be hugely dramatic, but it's powerful as you share it. And so that's one of the points that's kind of a preview. I mean, one of the ways you will experience more and more joy is telling your own story. Because it will reinforce to you, yeah, something's actually happening in my life. God's actually doing something in my life. I'm seeing it. I'm recognizing it. And then that will bring joy to your friends, and joy will multiply. So they hurried to the village, very much like how Mary hurried to Elizabeth when she heard that Elizabeth was pregnant. And they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby, just like the angel said, lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. That's a really good thing. But Mary kept all these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. Being astonished is a good thing. Holding these things in your heart and meditating and thinking about them often lets them do a much deeper work. I would really encourage, find a way, we're all different people, we have different kind of rhythms and approaches, find a way to learn how to do this, to treasure God's word in your heart, whether you hear it, whether you read it, however you experience it, but to treasure and think. I'm benefiting a lot from the Bible Project people, and they said an interesting thing on one of the videos I watched, that the Bible is meditation literature. It's written so that we would read and meditate on it. Mary was doing that. And then the shepherds go back to their flocks. They're glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had told them. Now, I love how God announces the birth of his son to the shepherds. They were outcasts. They were unimportant. They were insignificant to others. But they were loved and valued by God. If you ever felt like you weren't like quite, you were looking at the party through a window, but you weren't quite in the party, I want to tell you something. God wants you in the party. He's welcoming you. He wants you in. He wants you close to his heart. He wants you with his people because he loves you and he wants the absolute best for you. He wants the absolute best for his people, and you're a gift to his people. So what did they do? There's three things that I notice in the shepherds that how they experienced the lasting joy of God that I think can help us. Number one, they chose to hear the good news. They heard the good news that the angel said. You know, God loves us so much, he always takes the first step toward us. He loves us first. John says, we love because he first loved us. And he shares good news. You know, friends, we have so much bad news all around us, right? And many of us have bad news that just kind of reverberates in our brain. We've had hard things happen. We've done some things we wished we'd never done. And sometimes that just rolls and rolls and rolls around. Friends, we need to hear good news more and more and more. We need to hear the good news that's going to bring great joy, not just temporary happiness. And it's good news. It isn't just good advice. What's the difference there? Good advice is like, well, try this. Maybe you'll do better if you can try this. Now, that's not bad to give advice, but we need God to do something to change our lives. And he's come to rescue us, and we can experience his joy as we respond. And it's about a person, the Savior. Jesus came to defeat our enemies, sin, death, and the devil, and rescue us. He's the Messiah. He's anointed. He's filled with the Holy Spirit to do this work. And he's the Lord. He's the one who now has all authority in heaven and on earth to make things happen, make things right. And so when Paul says, always be full of joy in the Lord, he's saying it's in a person. It's not a particular outcome. Rena did a great job with that with hope. We're not looking for only a particular outcome. We're looking to experience a person. And so if you're going through great times, you can experience the presence of God. Average times, presence of God. really hard times. The presence of God, that's where the fullness of joy is. So I want to encourage you, choose to hear the good news of acceptance and welcome. Jesus loves you, he said. Everyone who comes to me, I will never reject them. Choose to hear the good news of forgiveness. He said, it's finished when he died on the cross, so you can be fully forgiven, completely clean, no shame on you in any place. Choose to hear the good news of freedom. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And choose to hear the good news of growth and change. We can grow into the presence of God more and more and more. Now, how can you hear the good news? Well, hopefully you're hearing good news from me right now. You can hear by being part of this. You can hear it in songs. You can hear it when you read the Bible, when you listen to the Bible read. You can hear the good news in a small group where you're studying the Bible together and learning about Jesus. There are multiple ways. I'm just encouraging you, try as many ways as you can. But would you make a commitment through the rest of this year and into next year, that you're going to choose to hear the good news as often as possible on a really regular basis? Find something that works for you. Number two, they responded to God, and they did what he said as soon as they could. They ran to see the baby. Now, they were guided by God's sign. It's interesting. The manger is mentioned like three times in this story. And one of the things when you read in the Bible, it's helpful to notice things that are referenced more than one time. That's how the authors make their point. Why did he mention the manger three times? Well, he wanted them to find Jesus. He wanted them to get the right baby. And so this baby was in a manger. There probably were a lot of babies that were born then. This baby was in a manger. God so wanted them to find Jesus. Do you know that God so wants you to find Jesus and get to know Jesus better and better and better your whole life long? He wants you to experience his joy all the time. Now, they responded right away and they ran. James says that it's not just the hearers. Hearing good news is a good thing, but it's the ones who put the good news into practice that are really blessed. Jesus said, if you want your life to stand in the midst of storms, what do? You hear my words and you put them into practice. So a good friend of mine years ago said, when you read the Bible, John, and the Bible's encouraging you to do something, do it as soon as you can. To which I responded, but I won't do it very well right away. And he said, that doesn't matter. Just do it. Just start. Just do it. I would encourage you for that. So when you read passages that encourage you to pray, I would encourage you, pray right away. When you read passages that encourage you to serve others, find a way to serve somebody. When we choose to pray in Jesus' name, Jesus says we will receive and our joy will be full. When we choose to confess our sins, we will receive forgiveness, and our guilt and shame are removed forever. When we choose to forgive others, we will find freedom. So choose to hear the good news and choose to respond to it as soon as you can. And three, choose to share your story with others. Tell someone what you're hoping for from God, what you think he's doing in your life, and how you're doing, the steps that you are taking. In the Emotionally Focused Formation, I have the privilege of talking with a coach, another young woman from the Pennsylvania area who is a children's pastor, Sarah. She's an amazing coach. So myself and another woman are in this group, and we get to talk for 30 minutes every day about what's going on in our life. What went well last week, John? Where did you get stuck? What are you hoping for this week? It's been like way better than I expected, honestly. I'm learning to tell my story. So one of the things that we're encouraged to do is have a transformation conversation. That's simply, what are you hoping for from God, and what steps are you taking, to have like three of those a week. That's a lot. So when I was in Chicago for a month, I did that. I asked one of my children, I said, hey, I'm in this class. They said, yeah, we're excited for you. I have an assignment, yeah, and I need you to help me. Will you have a talk with me? And we had an awesome time. I want to encourage you, your story is important. God wants you to share your story with others. It will encourage them, it will bring joy, and your joy will grow. You and I can be more joyful our whole life long. Doesn't matter if you're an introvert like me or an extrovert. Doesn't matter if you're glass half full or glass half empty. God has a gift of lasting joy for you. And it's wrapped up in a relationship with Jesus. Would you like to receive God's gift of joy today? Would you like to say yes to Jesus today? Maybe for the first time, if it's coming clear to you. Maybe for the thousandth time. Maybe you'd like to renew your yes to Jesus. Will you make a commitment to hearing the good news in every way you can? Will you try to respond to the good news right away? Will you be willing to share your story with others? I would love to hear your story. Even if it's not an assignment for a class you're taking, I would just love to hear your story. I need your story. You need mine. We like to close our services with worship and prayer. I'd like the worship team to come up at this time if they could. And here are a few tips. I've been saying these things. I'll just say them in a different way now. Here's some things you could do to put God's word into practice more. One, you could read the Luke 2 passage and the Philippians 4 passage. I would encourage you to pray and ask God to fill you with His Spirit, fill you with His presence, give you the gift of joy. Strengthen the gift of joy that you have. And three, do share with someone what you're hoping for and how you're doing, the steps you're taking. Now, today we want to do a ministry a little differently. We're not going to have people go to corners. We're just going to have you like stand right where you are, and people around you would be glad to pray for you. Those of you that are on the prayer team, when we do this, if you'd just like be aware and alert to going, but we'd like to give people the opportunity to receive prayer and give prayer. So I'm going to ask you, if you're able to stand, if you'd just all stand right now, I'm going to pray a general prayer for God's presence to come on us and give us joy, and then I'll pray that, and then if you want to sit later, that's totally fine. So first I want to pray for joy, that God would increase. How many of you would like more joy in your life? Anybody? Yeah, I certainly would. And the good thing about receiving joy is if you have received joy, you can receive more. So sometimes we encourage people to put their hands out as if God's going to give you a gift, because He is. If that helps you, you can please do that. I'm going to pray right now. Holy Spirit, thank You that You love us and that You want more joy in our lives. And so we ask You to come. We ask You to come and fill us with Your presence. Fill us with Your joy. Lord, you know every season, the situations we're all going through. And Lord, we ask You to meet us in them. Lord, we thank You that Your gift is for all people. That's all of us. And we thank You for the strength You want to give us, the gladness You want us to experience. Lord, we have family members as well that are going through challenging things, difficult things. Lord, we're asking You to release joy into their lives as well. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. One of the things I'm trying to learn in my formation thing is a spiritual practice I never knew existed. It's called slowing. Has a lot to do with waiting. I've never done slowing very well, honestly. I'm trying to learn. And so the Holy Spirit's here to touch you and to fill you. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We pray You'd increase Your presence in our lives now, consistently in our work. We thank You that You came and met the shepherds at their workplace. Your glory shined on that hill. We thank You that You want to meet us in our regular lives, our work, family life, neighborhood, our friendships. And so, Lord, we ask for that. Now, some of you need healing in different ways, physically, physical healing, emotional, mental. We'd love to pray for you as well. I wanted to share a few words that came to me in the worship time, and but we'll pray for any kind of healing. So I'm going to share the words, and then if you would like us to pray for you, I'm going to just ask you to raise your hand, and then people around you can pray. And if you want to like sit down at that time, totally fine. We'll be worshiping. But somebody's got some knee problems such that it's like hard to go downstairs. You feel it every time you're going downstairs. Someone's got shoulder issues. You just don't have the range of motion or the freedom of movement that you need. Some of you have ear. What I experienced was like a clogging of my ear. It's like I couldn't quite hear. So if that's going on, we'd love to pray for you. Somebody has respiratory problems. I realize that's low-hanging fruit in Minnesota in the winter. We all struggle with things. But for some of you, it's more chronic as well. It's a consistent thing. God wants to touch you. And some of you are grieving. Grieving is a good thing. Not wrong to grieve during this time of the year. But some of you might feel like you're just a little stuck. You're having a hard time moving forward. And God wants to touch you. So, and we'll pray for any other thing. So if you would like someone to like pray for you for any of these things or anything for healing, just like raise your hand right where you are. Okay, there's hands coming up. And then I'm deputizing you to pray. And if you see somebody around you, if you just ask them, how could I pray? And put your hand on them and ask Jesus to like make it better. So Lord, we ask you that you come and you bring healing and restoration to us, all of those who need healing in this space. We thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your power, your healing power. So we ask that you would release that in Jesus' name. So we're going to worship now, and the band will lead us in worship and communion. But if you notice the people around you, please just go and ask somebody, how can I pray for you while we worship? God bless you.